Welcome to Through the Word. Chris Langham with you again, and so glad to be here as we open up the book of Genesis. What a journey we have ahead of us. Genesis is an epic with some of the greatest stories and heroes of all time. Today, we introduce the book. The word Genesis means origin or beginning, and the book opens with these words: "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." So Genesis is really the origin story for the whole Bible. It's the stories that explain how things got to be the way they are. Which to me is pretty amazing, because the backstory changes everything. Think about it. Batman lost his parents. Superman lost his planet. Black Widow lost her pretend family. Those stories are compelling because we understand the present so much better when we go back to the start. Back to the roots, to the first seeds that became a forest. But what if someone made your origins movie? Imagine if you could see your own backstory, the experiences, the words, the hurts, and the heroes that formed your thinking. I'll bet it would explain a lot about you today. And what if they got your parents' story too? It's part of who you are. And then further still, to trace the roots of your family tree. The people, the stories, the tragedies and triumphs, everything that led up to you, to who you are. In a way, that's what Genesis does for all of us. It goes back to the start, to the roots of life and of what it means to be human. And it explains a lot. Genesis is the origin story for all of creation, from the smallest atom to the furthest star, to you and me. Genesis is foundational. In fact, this is also day one of journey number three on Through the Word. Journey three is all about foundations as we travel together through three foundational books, Genesis, Daniel, and Romans. Here in Genesis, we get the foundations of life and death, love and hate, good and evil, and foundations of our relationship with each other and our relationship with our Creator. And we get all of those foundation pieces as we read some phenomenal stories and fascinating characters, because God works out his great plan for the world through the lives of ordinary people, like Noah, Abraham, Sarah, my personal favorite, Jacob, and then one of the greatest characters in all literature, Joseph. And there's another character in this story, the one at the heart of it all. The Bible is the story of God, and of God's relationship with humankind. Genesis begins with God. He creates the universe, makes man and woman in his image, places them in paradise, and sets the rules. When they break the rules, it is God who responds, God who punishes, and God who sets in motion a plan to save them. As generations pass, we find humanity turning far from God. Yet God pursues. He finds Noah. He finds Abram. And he establishes covenant. That's key. A covenant is a binding agreement to form a relationship. And that is exactly what God is creating in Genesis. A new relationship with Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and ultimately with us. Now their stories are not neat and pretty. They're full of lies and dirt and blood and tears and all the complex mess that we call life. But they are also redemption stories. God redeems. Now, there is one crucial question to address before we start. That is, how do we read Genesis? Is it literal or mythological? Is it history or poetry? The answer to that question is hotly debated. So I'll do my best to stay balanced as I present several viewpoints on this. The debate largely centers on science. I was a scientist by trade, so this is important to me. Got my degree in mechanical engineering and worked on rockets for a while. And for a scientist reading Genesis, you can't help but stop about four words in. In the beginning, God. Now that's great, but how do I prove it? How do I test God scientifically? I can't measure God in a lab or run God through a repeatable experiment. And that very argument has been cited in school board decisions to keep any reference to God out of science classes. Many people claim science as their reason for rejecting the Bible altogether. They also take issue with the timeline in Genesis 1, the 7 days of creation. So what do Bible believers say? I'll give you the short version here and invite you to hear a full explanation on our B-side called Science in the Bible. Some Bible believers say that the beginning of Genesis is clearly poetic, not meant to be read literally. Other believers say that it is literal, but the 7 days are in fact 7 ages or eras of the earth, so each one could be millions or billions of years. Others still say it is literal and each day is a day, and they cite much evidence that the earth is much younger, just 6 to 10,000 years old. 3 major views, poetic, old earth, and young earth, and each of these viewpoints comes with evidence, arguments, and challenges. And each one has some variation on their viewpoints on evolution and the Big Bang, anywhere from full agreement to partial agreement to outright rejection. And of course, many people simply don't believe the Bible and say that we should stick with what the laws of science tell us. So let's think about that. What do the basic laws of science tell us when we back things up to the beginning? Well, conservation of mass tells us that matter cannot be created or destroyed, only rearranged. Conservation of energy says the same for energy. So mass and energy cannot come from nothing. The Big Bang Theory, the theory, not the TV show, theorizes that all the matter and energy in the universe started in a tiny speck and exploded outward. But hold on, what happened before that? Where did the speck come from? The theory is that it all came from nothing. But doesn't that violate the conservation laws? Yes, it does. Matter and energy cannot come from nothing. So then, some theorize that it came from a previous bunch of matter and energy. But you still have the same issue, and you can't just back up the timeline forever. Start counting from negative infinity, and you will never arrive at 2000 anything. Ever. Today would literally be impossible. So the laws of science insist there had to be a beginning. Funny, we keep coming back to that word. And one more law. The second law of thermodynamics. This one is crucial. It states that order cannot come from disorder in a closed system. Ever. Another way to say it is, randomness cannot create order. Not without help. So again, back that up to the beginning. Where did all the order in the universe come from? This goes for all the building blocks. Time, space, matter, energy, order. They all had to come from something. Science demands it. Notice that it gets tricky when you go back to the beginning. And watch where Genesis starts. In the beginning, time, God created the heavens, space, and the earth, matter. And watch where Genesis starts. In the beginning, that's time, God created the heavens, that's space, and the earth. That's matter. In verse 3, and God said, let there be light. Light is energy. Verse 4, God saw the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. Separating creates order. So the laws of science tell us that something had to create matter, energy, and order. There is no version of nothing creating something that obeys scientific law or has scientific foundation. But in the first 4 verses of the Bible, we have a simple account of something creating space, matter, energy, and order. And that something is God. Now I recognize that I probably just created more questions than I answered. And that's okay. Questioning is how we learn. We'll answer a few more science questions on evolution and timeline when we start chapter 1 tomorrow. And if you want to dig deeper, we have a B-side with much more. But for now, I want to invite you to join me on this little adventure back to the beginning, back to Genesis. You know, a few years back, I decided to ask my dad for his backstory. I didn't know much about his childhood, so he told me. He started with his dad's story, and each week I'd call him up and get a little more story. My dad was a child in occupied Japan, tracked Russian subs in the Cold War, escaped a coup in El Salvador, and answered the phone in D.C. when the embassy in Iran called. His old boss was the top-ranking hostage. It was all fascinating. A few months in, we had almost gotten to when I was born, and I got a call. My dad had a stroke, and he lost the ability to speak. My father passed away a few months later, but I was so glad that I finally got to hear his story, part of my story, part of who I am. And that is how I read Genesis. It is our story, a part of who we are. And like my dad did, we'll pick it up next time, right where we left off, which is, of course, in the beginning.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.